Hello, all you beautiful children out there in Wonderland, Comic Book Central. This is the real Short Box. My name is Donald.
I'm Jarrett.
And I am the one and only Kevin.
That took a while. Anyway, speaking of Kevins, we're going to be talking about costumes. And I noticed, Kevin, you decided not to wear pants today.
That's not true.
Which I find awkward.
No, he's wearing only underwear like a cool superhero costume would have.
But he forgot
to put the pants underneath the underwear. So he's just in his underwear.
Awkward.
Now, you're being a little hypocritical here, sir. What is that you're wearing? You're wearing like some Magneto...
I'm wearing a Magneto hoodie.
A Magneto hoodie?
Yeah.
It's pretty dope.
It is pretty
dope. Put the hood on and it's the helmet.
Wow. Magneto. I have magnet powers.
Elevated your blood pressure. The metal's going everywhere. Yep. Stapler to my face.
Yep, there we go. So anyway, what we're talking about today is, of course, our favorite costumes. We're going to be mentioning a few here and there, why we like them, what costumes we like, of course, what's seminal about them, or just personally, how it speaks to us. So with that, I think Mr. Jarrett's going to go first.
That's right. Now, when I was thinking of costumes... once again, this was actually an easy thing for me in some respects as far as these are things that I just think about before I go to bed. Like, what are my favorite costumes? Our favorite teams or our all-star team,
yeah.
Our dream teams. Yeah. So this is another thing that I've thought of before. Now, if I was going to choose favorite costumes, honestly, like, I could just choose the whole Justice Society. I love, like, they have so many cool costumes, the Justice Society of America.
True.
I just, like, as a kid, I remember there was an All-Star Squadron book, and it had the Justice Society members, and they're all, like, chained to something, or, you know, it was like, all lined up. I think some Dr. Savannah or somebody was going to destroy them. And I just remember going, who are these characters? Because they weren't the Justice League, and I had no idea that they came before the Justice League or anything, but I was like, these costumes are so cool, like Dr. Midnight, Starman, and my first pick, Hourman.
Ooh.
The Golden Age Hourman. I'm going to show the boys here.
Yeah.
Now that's quite a cloak there.
It's a cloak. It's so... What I love about it is, one, I love solids. I love solid colors, especially blacks, and I just like love dynamic... bright colors or dark color, especially black. I love blacks with the bright colors.
Yeah, Kevin, you're in luck.
Yes, yeah. I am.
I love the blacks, Kevin. I love them.
Well, I'm glad you do.
Yeah. So Hourman, what I love is it's just, yeah, it's not even, it's weird because it's like a hood, but it's a cloak. Yeah, it's like a cloaked hood wrapped with the cape, the yellow cape, and it's just that yellow, black, and then the reds with his belt.
Now, let me ask, does Hourman also have like a mask over his head and eyes, or is that just the shadow from the cloak?
I think that's just the shadow. No, he does.
He does, okay.
He does. It's part of the cloak. Like, I don't know if it's a mask under... It depends, like, on the artist. Sometimes it looks like it's just part of the cloak, and there's, like, literally like, eye holes cut into it.
Right, okay.
But, like, yeah, for the picture we're looking at right now, it looks like he's almost got, like, a half Zorro mask on, you know, like, over his forehead and his eyes.
Right.
And then the cloak goes over it.
Well, you know, if he'd have spent a little more time on it...
He's only got 60 minutes.
He could have done the whole face, you know?
What random powers, too? I pop a pill, and for 1 hour, I'm a superhero. And then after that, I'm fucked. Like, it's just, like, yeah. Always having to, like...
Choose the time.
Yeah, just making sure, like... I mean, it's almost like like pre-Viagra jokes. Like, you know, I mean, it's like that whole thing of, like, I gotta make this count right now. Pill's kicking in.
Yeah, if he took, like, too many, he's at the hospital.
Well, also, like, how did he know when it kicked in? Like, did he have to, like... Take the, you know, because pills,
take
them, they have to digest. Like, so you have to sit there and be like, all right, I'm going to start fighting crime at like 7:30. It's 7 right now. If I take the pill now by 7:30, I should be kicking ass. Yeah. And then I've got an hour.
Oh, crap.
Now, what do you...
I didn't wait 2 hours and I had dairy.
Yeah. Fucked up everything.
Now, what do you do at 8:28 and he knows he's going to need an additional 10 minutes or 15 minutes to take care of a situation? Then what?
Just crack one dude in the head and
run very fast.
You're it! Or just like, or threaten them. Just be like, tomorrow, it's on. and run away.
I'll be back tomorrow at 7:30 p.m.
So yeah, if I could, I would choose the whole Justice Society for my costumes, but I want it to be diverse, so I chose my favorite, and that is Our Man. Nice. Rex Tyler.
Very cool. Kevin?
Well, my first one is a very awesome, awesome costume from now 25 years. It's the Spawn costume.
Yeah, a little nice. McFarlane, huh? Had to get your man with McFarlane.
Yes, yeah, Mr. McFarlane.
Now,
yeah.
did you choose the costume because of its darkness, or did you choose it because of the darkness in your soul?
Holy crap.
It's, I'm Todd McFarlane.
I know.
I'm the creator of Spawn.
We know. So good to meet you.
I'll never get over it. We were actually just watching it last night, my wife and I, cracking up once again. Hi, I'm Todd McFarlane. Like, you just sound so uncool, man. I'm sorry.
Wear your jacket and keep your
mouth. Hey, his uncoolness is worth like $50 million.
Yeah,
so.
No, he buys all the baseballs he wants.
Oh, God.
That Honus
Wagner.
That was
so funny.
That Honus Wagner card,
oh,
yes.
What was it, the Maguire?
No, he got the Maguire ball. That was
and
the
then it,
thing.
It became like...
Nothing.
Nothing.
Because it was the steroids, right? It was like...
Well, it was not only the steroids, but it was Sosa, I think, like beat his record right after that. Because they were battling back and forth.
I think the reverse was true.
Was it the reverse?
I think it was Sosa first, then Maguire.
Okay.
And then, of course, years later was Barry Bonds.
Oh, that's it. That's it. Okay.
But then it also became like almost null and void because of the steroid allegations and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah, that was crazy. Anyway, so you like Spawn.
Now, you're talking original Spawn, right?
Yes, original Spawn.
Not medieval Spawn?
Because there's like 1,000 versions.
Medieval Spawn was
bad. I'm talking about the original Spawn, the Al Simmons. That
good
costume
choice.
Was a beautiful costume.
Didn't he control chains or something?
Yeah, about to get to that. The costume was made from necroplasm, which gave him super strength and durability. And the costume itself, one thing I really like about it, it's a living costume. You know, the cape, the spikes, the chains, the skulls were all part of one organism that basically protected Spawn, even if he was knocked out unconscious.
Hmm.
And also, it had the ability to feed on souls.
Ooh, that's a little bit of Ragman right there.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, he was kind of like... Cloak, Ragman, like all in one, because he could, his cape could grab shit, his chains could grab stuff, he could suck the souls out.
I remember
shit.
In the movie, I think that was the coolest part, the effects they did with the cape.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember that.
By the way, this year's the 20th anniversary of that movie.
Nobody cares. Literally.
But Martin Sheen would care.
No, he's too nice to say he wouldn't. But
and I know for a fact, John Leguizamo doesn't give two fucks.
No.
He's forgot about that thing more times than he can count.
Yep.
But what about Michael Jai White?
He remembers it. That's all he has.
Yeah. Michael Jai White, you know.
Remember? He was like, I was the lead.
That guy pops up in all kinds of shit.
Hey, he was in The Dark Knight as one of the gangsters. Knight,
yeah. What was that other movie he was in? Black Dynamite? Was that it?
Yes.
Was he in Black Dynamite?
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
That was a good movie. He was good in that.
That was awesome.
I give him that. I give you credit for credit, too.
He's Bronze Tiger in Arrow.
Is he?
Yeah. He's not bad. It's just the look is pretty bad.
Oh, is it?
They don't. Yeah, he's got, like, Wolverine claws that he holds on to. And yeah, it's bad. Sorry, I just vomited.
But yes, you know, this cut.
Mop.
But this kind of costume is one of the coolest costumes, I think, that's ever been conceived in the last 25 years for a superhero. I mean, this costume does it all.
You definitely know it, too, and you see Spawn. I'd say from the 90s, that's one of the premier costumes. For sure.
And just like those eyes kind of glowing at you, too. If you see that dude in the dark alley,
run.
Wanda.
Wanda.
Yes. You know, he's pissed off, man. He gets killed. He misses his woman. He misses his old life. And last but not least, you know, he has vast magical powers. You can't go wrong there.
Right.
Magic's cool. If you're into that thing.
Magic's cool. Speaking of magic, the character that I'm going to mention now, that is one of his primary weaknesses. And of course, I'm talking about the one, the only, Superman.
Are you kidding me?
No.
I thought you were going to go with Ilyana Rasputin magic.
Yeah, exactly!
Her original New Mutant costume was so cool.
Why would you pick a nearly 80-year-old character?
Because it's seminal. It's
it
classic.
It is iconic, yeah.
Everyone knows that red S on the chest. That's all you have to do. You put like a little shield with a red S, everyone knows who you are. There is no character that's more identifiable than Superman out there. Even Batman cowers before Superman's costume.
And he had the red and blue mixture before Spider-Man.
Yeah. With a little hint of yellow in there.
What about Darkwing Duck?
When there's trouble, you call DW. But Superman, a little bit about it. created by writer Jerry Siegel and artist Joe Shuster, for those that do not know.
Sold for $5.
Pretty much. Superman, here's some cool stuff, though. Superman has gone through a few changes, of course. In January 1933 in Cleveland, two high school students, of course, Siegel and Shuster, wrote a short story titled The Reign of the Superman.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Which Siegel self-published in his fanzine Science Fiction. The titular character is a vagrant who gains vast psychic powers from an experimental drug and uses them maliciously for profit and amusement, only to lose them and become a vagrant again, ashamed that he will be remembered only as a villain.
So the original Superman was a villain?
Yep.
Wow.
Siegel's fanzine did not sell well. Shocker. Siegel and Shuster shifted to making comic strips, which they self-published in a book they called Popular Comics. Eventually, they created the popular Superman we all know and love, with an S on his chest, a cape, and red and blue tights.
Right. And the S has changed, right? The original S was like...
Yeah. Yeah, the S has changed over the years.
Like, drastically.
Yeah, it was very simplistic back then. Now it's become a little more refined and iconic, so to speak. But I feel like... what they've done recently, I'm not a fan of. I'm going to be honest. They took away the trunks.
Okay.
The red trunks that were always on the outside of the blue.
Right.
And they just replaced it with just blue, you know, pants, stretch pants or whatever, and a utility kind of belt with a small little shield in
right.
the front.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Which it makes it a little plain. I think. I think I would have like put something around his leg at least, like a leg strap of some sort, or some get Rob Liefeld in there and do some pouches.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Get some goddamn pouches on this guy.
Something. But I'm not a fan. DC, if you're listening, please go back to the classic or figure it the fuck out.
Now, right. Did you appreciate the costume 25 years ago when he came back, that blue white
electric Superman?
Oh, and then he shifted into blue and red and split up. Yeah. No, I didn't.
That was terrible.
Here's the funny thing.
When it got to the blue and red, that's when it was terrible.
The funny thing about that is Dan Jurgens was writing Superman for what seemed like forever.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan Jurgens, I believe he started out originally as an artist, if I'm correct. And then segued into writing, which happens a lot of times in comic books.
John Byrne.
So Jurgens wrote Superman, and he created the most iconic story ever, I think, in existence, which is the death of Superman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in doing that, you can't go up. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard to go up from there. So he started to try to find new ways, and it just never worked the same. And he got experimental to try to get press, like the electric.
Just gimmicky
and,
shit, yeah,
and it didn't work. And he faded out and went over to like Marvel and did Thor for a while and other things. And then eventually, not too long ago, he came back to Superman.
Really?
And it's good.
Yeah.
It's solid. He's bringing back a lot of the classic characters that we knew and loved when we were kids.
That's
like
cool.
Cyborg, Superman.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I like Hank Henshaw.
Mongol, they're bringing back him. And a couple other, Metallo, a couple other classic characters.
What about Eradicator?
Refining. Yeah. Eradicator's brought back too.
Most
recently. Yeah. So he's working on those and kind of honing them and creating a decent story now again. And I'm very excited for it. And I'm actually... The one comic book that I buy the most now is Superman-related. I buy the Super Sons, I buy Superman, and I buy Action Comics with Superman.
Wow.
So I literally buy three Superman titles, and I haven't done that since I was a kid.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
That's super exciting for me that the stories are getting good again.
By the way, Action Comics, much like Detective Comics, is getting very close to that 1,000th issue.
Action will of course, be there before Detective. Detective won't be far behind. But yeah. Anyway, that's my first and always my favorite costume, Superman. Jarrett?
My next one is another character who's in the vein of the Justice Society. This one character has a bunch of costumes that I love, and that character is Hank Pym. I like the Ant-Man costume.
Mm.
I love Giant Man. I really like Yellow Jacket, but my favorite out of all those is the Goliath costume that he had.
Oh, the yeah. First, classic. It's like blue and yellow,
right? Blue and yellow.
Yeah.
First appeared in Avengers 28.
Oh, that's a great drawing, too.
Yeah, it's a really cool drawing. Avengers 28, which is also the first appearance of The Collector, which is kind of a hard book to get now.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely one that's on my list for acquisitions. But I just, once again, I love the modern look of it. The earlier versions, almost like over his eyes, it looked like they had these little like fluttery things. I don't know what they were, but now they kind of make it more like goggles, which I like.
Good.
I like, once again, solid colors. It's like a strong blue, a strong yellow. To me, it was just such a contrast to Ant-Man was that red and black, and then he became Giant-Man, which just looked like a kind of the Ant-Man costume bigger without the helmet. And I love the Giant-Man costume, but the Goliath costume to me, for some reason, just really popped out. I like that he kept it for a while. There was a whole run of Avengers. I think when Hercules joined, there was him, Hercules, Quicksilver, Scarlet Witch. It was just a really cool Avengers team, really cool looking Avengers team, especially you had like the Quicksilver, Scarlet Witch, the green and the red, you had the blue and the yellow, and then you had Cap, I think Thor and Iron Man. It was just, and Hawkeye. Just basic, simple, and obvious. And Hank Pym is also one of my favorite characters. I just think he's such a deep character. He's got so much history to
him. Right, he likes to slap around women.
I will explain away that. You know the story, right? It was supposed to be a screw up.
No.
Yeah.
No, he's a wife beater.
No, he's a wife beater in the comics. But are they actually, I haven't read anything with Hank Pym like in the last, I don't know, 10 years. Have they like cleared the air with that? Is he like, I know they tried to later on back it up with like, he was Yellow Jacket, and Yellow Jacket was like crazy. Like he was like schizophrenic almost.
All I remember, the most recent from my memory, and this is not recent, right, was like 15 years ago.
Right.
When him and Jan, the Wasp, I think they were in Vegas.
Right.
And they kept taking turns shrinking down and playing with each other's genitals.
Are you serious?
What? I'm not joking. I believe it was Jeff Johns that wrote it too. And Scott Collins, I think. It was the artist at the time.
What the fuck?
So rock on, guys. Yo. Genital play.
Oh!
Wow.
That tickles, Janet.
Well, speaking of Jeff Johns.
And genital play.
Yes, and genital play. He, I believe, remade a particular, I would say, B character, Superboy.
Mm-hmm.
It's my second one. It's Superboy Prime, a badass villain. Mm-hmm. I mean, before he started as a sweet little boy, you know, in Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Just a kid. He was like the only, it was like him. That was it on his planet, right? He was Superboy and that was it?
That was it.
Right.
You know, if you read the books, you know, if you read that story, he's kind of an adorable kid, you know, just trying to handle with the big boys.
Went down the wrong path.
Went down the wrong path.
What is this whole Crisis thing? Help me, guys.
Yep.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Yeah.
And when he comes back.
He got big into coke.
He comes back in the sequel and boy, oh boy, he loses his mind.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And let me tell you something. When he gets this new costume, this powerful charged armor costume, which is no
is that
joke.
The one you're showing me now?
Yeah, so I'm showing you right now.
Oh, I mean, that one's tits, dude.
That's a badass costume.
Yes,
man.
It is.
And think about it. It was a power suit modeled after the Anti-Monitor.
I can see that.
And it collects and feeds him yellow solar energy.
Whoa! That's badass.
And if you're thinking, just to give you guys out in the audience, think of Superman and then think of over the chest, this like hulking like metallic armor plate with the S still on it with the black in it and these
gold like tubes coming across over his shoulders and like that whole thing, it looks like it fits down onto his shoulders and rests to a point on his chest where the S is.
Mm-hmm.
very cool That's costume
badass.
Yes sir, even when he's near a red sun it still protects him. So I mean, this guy, he's ready to kick some serious ass.
Speaking of kicking serious ass, I have a good costume here, gentlemen.
What do you got?
I'm going to go with the Punisher.
Ooh. Classic. Yeah, another one.
Iconic here. I seem to be choosing iconics here.
Yeah.
A little bit of history. Punisher was created by writer Jerry Conway, an artist.
Jerry Conway.
Yeah, he's great. He's great. He did that, the most recent, I think, Carnage.
Oh, really?
Run, if I'm correct.
He's great. He's one of my favorites.
I apologize if I'm incorrect, but I think I'm correct. He also, a co-creator was John Romita Sr. and Ross Andrew.
Wow.
Also, Stan Lee had a hand in it because he, I believe, is the one that chose the name, or at least Stan Lee
insisted on it. He was like,
says,
I want my executive producer credit even on this.
Yeah.
You're like, Stan.
He made his first appearance in Amazing Spider-Man number 129. It's back in 1974.
Super easy book to get, guys, and really cheap.
Not
on
at all.
Opposite day.
Yeah. He was initially... Initially an antagonist of Spider-Man, he is portrayed as a bloodthirsty vigilante who has no qualms about killing gangsters, something that most superheroes of the time refrained from doing. Here's something cool. As Conrad recalled in 2002, that in the 1970s, when I was writing comics at DC and Marvel, I made it a practice to sketch my own ideas for the costumes of the new characters, which I offered to the artist as crude suggestions representing the image I had in mind. I had done that with the Punisher at Marvel. he had drawn a character with a small death's head skull on one breast. Marvel art director John Romita Sr. took the basic design, blew the skull up to a huge size, taking up most of the character's chest. Amazing Spider-Man penciler then, Ross Andrew, was the first artist then to draw the character for publication with a black shirt, pants, a bright white skull on the shirt, and white gloves and boots.
White go-go boots.
Basically.
Yeah.
So thus the Punisher was born. Now you imagine you're in a dark alley. All you fucking see coming at you is this bright white skull.
Right.
And then these white go-go boots. And what do you think? Oh my God, I'm going to be discoed to death.
And as a kid, I remember that was the first I was like, this is a serious character. Like this guy. That was like when I was getting into like the darker side of comics, like Frank Miller, Daredevil, and Punisher.
And he didn't smile very much either.
No.
He was fucking I don't know if he's...
He doesn't smile unless he kills somebody in a cool way, I think. But that's my second choice of Punisher. Jarrett, what's yours?
Number three on my list. Once again, this is to just show that less is more. I went with the original Havoc, Alex Summers.
Oh, I remember that. Oh, that's awesome. I remember
Once again, I just love sleek black costumes. And especially if you just have kind of like the Punisher, sleek black costume with an emblem on it. And Havoc had the circles. And I don't know if it's the OCD kid in me, but I just love those perfect circles.
You kept turning them around and around and around.
They're so simple, and they never stop, and they always connect. Also, everything is right, and they're perfect.
Like hypnotize
you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, to add to it, too, he had to look the little, almost like Egyptian, because he was related to with the whole, what was it, the living pharaoh guy. But the three metal pieces that came out, and the random ruby that they put in his head that I think they kind of explained to help channel the solar energy that he used to absorb his, you know, the cosmic energy that he spouts off.
Sounds dumb.
Let him do Havoc.
You know who was the cooler character? His brother.
You know what? You stop crying,
Are
Cyclops.
Are you crazy?
You stop crying, Cyclops, and you cry Havoc.
Maybe he meant Vulcan.
I'm sorry, brother Vulcan. I apologize. I was just joking.
Yeah.
Please.
No.
Please,
Kevin, said it right.
Put your belt back on, Kevin, please.
Vulcan.
Please. I'm sorry.
Kevin said it right. Vulcan. Is the true greatest Summers brother. I wonder if there's like one dude out there who's like, really? Cyclops Havoc? You guys don't know about Vulcan? Deadly Genesis? Vulcan's where it's at. Vulcan. You want to see my Vulcan tattoo?
Remember the name.
Yeah. Not to be confused with that stupid Star Trek shit. I'm talking about the third Summers brother. Vulcan. Guy's badass. Love him.
Right. Okay.
So Alex Summers Havoc is just one of my costumes. Like I said, less is more, and this costume is simple and eloquent and awesome.
All right. Now, my third character still stays within this X-Men universe. One of my favorite Class B or Class C villains, whatever you want to call it. Actually, I wouldn't say that. He's actually more deserving of that. Strife, Cable's clone. Now, that costume, when I saw that as a kid, I said, oh my God, this guy is... From head to toe is just...
It's all in the helmet.
Yeah, that big...
He could walk around the helmet and the spikes.
He had the spikes.
Yeah, he could walk around this dingus hand out, you know, and as long as he's wearing a helmet.
But to go with totally it, though, cool. He had a cape to go with that with all that armor as well. So I said, okay, this guy ain't playing around.
Yeah.
And to go with that as well, he has Omega-level mutant powers.
Right.
Telekinesis, telepathy.
It's telekinesis,
sonic,
Kyle.
Sonic blasting God. Abilities. And basically, he doesn't have Cable's issues, you know, where he has a techno-organic virus holding him back.
Right.
So this guy can bring the pain.
Right.
Just look at that costume. It kind of reminds you of like something from like the Middle Ages. Like if you're just walking around.
Yeah, it's pretty badass.
And you just want to just take care of some business. You get off your horse and people see that. Mm-hmm. You dress head to toe in that kind of armor.
That's true. I never thought about that. I love knights and I always loved his costume.
Yeah, you guys need to slow down. I'm getting a chubby.
Whoa. Right,
calm down, brother.
I'm sorry.
Whoa. Oh my God, the table's moving.
I'm sorry. It's levitating. It's just levitating. It's
That's
okay.
called a strife bone.
It's okay. Mark.
Here, drink some beer.
That's called a mutant liberated bone.
B. Arthur.
Yeah.
B. Arthur.
There you go. Calm it down. All right, what's your third one,
sir? All right, well, speaking of awesome costumes and people that know how to kick ass, I went with, for my third, Deathstroke.
Yeah, that's pretty fucking awesome, that costume.
Created by Marv Wolfman and George Perez. He's a mercenary and assassin who first appeared in Teen Titans Volume Number 1, Number 2 from 1980. Oftentimes a villain, he stood toe-to-toe with some of the best, taking down most of the Justice League without breaking a sweat. Deathstroke's unique costume is reminiscent of a pirate's costume, to me anyway, with his mask, chainmail, long boots, and sword. Mm-hmm. The mask has only one visible eye hole, as he's without one eye, making his costume as unique as the character himself. A two-tone blue and orange mask split down the middle with orange trunks, gloves, and boots make this costume stand out. The bullets strapped around his chest and legs let you know this man means business.
Well, he was Deathstroke the Terminator.
Exactly.
I will never forget, I collected the Marvel Universe the Marvel Universe books that had all the characters in them, and I collected the Who's Who, which was the DC version of those, mm-hmm. and had all the characters and give their backstory. And I would never forget opening the one when I got to the page of Deathstroke and going like, who the fuck is this guy? How do I see more of him? Because, yeah, he and almost the opposite of what we were talking about with the less is more, he had so much shit going on. You want pouches, Rob Liefeld. This guy got pouches.
Well.
And he had his staff. Yeah. He had his sword. And
how do you think we got Deadpool?
That's right, Deadpool.
You know, my first exposure to him when I was a kid is when I had that compilation book with all the Marvel versus DC. And was X-Men versus Teen Titans. That's the first time I ever even heard of Deathstroke. And I saw what he was capable of. Mm-hmm. I said, man, this guy's no joke.
It's interesting. Were you guys like me when you were younger in the old characters? Like the old dudes?
Scared, crying in a corner, hoping my dad didn't come in to beat the shit out of me again?
No, I'm so sorry. Jeez.
No, but how were you?
Normal. but like the older dudes, like if they had a lot of facial hair or they were just old looking, I didn't care about them.
Yeah, because you're like, that guy can't kick ass.
Right.
Right.
But Deathstroke, when I first saw him.
Changed your mind, didn't he?
Well, he had the mask on, so I had no idea. And I'm like, yeah, this guy kicks ass. And then he took his mask and I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
You ripped me off.
Yeah. But I still loved the character. At that point, it was too late.
It was too,
you know, it was too late for me.
Exact same.
Well, hey, it should make you feel good as you age. You can be the Deathstroke of the future.
Oh, no, that doesn't make me feel good
at
all.
What you just said is why I never liked the Vulture as a kid. Now I'm like, oh, he's cool, Vulture's cool. But like as a kid?
Yeah, he's an old
like,
dude.
He's a fucking old dude. I don't care if that suit makes him strong and he can fly. He's an old man.
Right.
But what Professor Xavier? He's an old man too. Yeah, he was
different though because he sat in a wheelchair where he belonged.
And he also didn't. Well, in a way, he's right though. He's sad. He's the teacher and the leader. He didn't like really get into the thick of it.
Magneto,
that much.
Also old man, but has some serious kick-ass powers. But
he had the helmet on a lot. So.
Yeah, and he didn't look like an old man. They never drew him. He just looked like he had natural silver hair. He looked like Steve Martin,
or like an angry dad.
Yeah, good point.
You know, like he never aged.
An angry fit dad. my next one is Mike Baron and Steve Rhodes, Nexus.
Nice.
We just recently talked about Nexus. Nexus, obviously the art on him is amazing, but kind of like Goliath, he's got the real streamlined costume with the lines and the colors, but he's got this dark blue and then the blue and then the lightning bolt. The lightning bolts sell it all.
The lightning bolt isn't even down the middle.
No, it's off to the side. Yeah.
Yeah, it comes up like over the shoulder and down towards the left breast, I guess.
Yeah, and he's got the best, he's got the cool like red goggles. He just looks to me like the most future, what you'd expect from like a really future badass superhero. He just looks like the future.
If Cyclops was cool.
Right. He looks like a badass Cyclops.
Yep, I agree. That's a very cool costume.
Love me some Nexus.
All right. My fourth character is the badass brother Black Panther, T'Challa.
Nice.
This costume is a beautiful costume, as you can see here.
It's all black.
All black.
Now, I will even go on to say that almost every form, every version of Black Panther's costumes have all been great.
Yeah.
His original to the Civil War. To the present. That, yeah, all of them. Just great. I love Black Panther.
I mean, anti-metal claws that can basically break down all metals, just about any metal at a molecular level. Cloaking technology. Vibranium microweave mesh. Mm-hmm. Basically the vibranium is a big component to it. I mean, it's almost like adamantium. You just can't really do much.
Yeah, ain't no messing with him.
Nope.
He looks like a giant cat.
And to go with his intelligence, he can move quick and efficient.
And he's always got a saucer of milk.
I suppose so.
No.
Must be some God special milk.
God loves his milk.
Yep. Well, speaking of milk, we're talking about something that's white. And my character, my next one, would be Madman.
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 It's an interesting one. Another lightning bolt.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, sort of. Created by Mike Alred and published by a number of publishers over the years, the character first appeared in Creatures of Id. That was in October of 1990. And try getting it for cheap. It's not going to happen, guys.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes. His name, Frank Einstein, is a combination of Frank Sinatra and Albert Einstein, and is also a reference to Frankenstein. He was an agent of the Tri-Eye Agency. He was killed in a car accident, then stitched back together and brought to life by two scientists, Dr. Egon Bolfard and Dr. Gillespie Flem. This resurrection left him amnesic, and the resurrected John Doe was named after Bolfard's artistic and scientific heroes, Frank Sinatra and Albert Einstein, respectively. The procedure left Frank with supernatural reflexes and a slight degree of precognitive and empathetic power. However, he remembers nothing about his former life, but faint, troubling memories relating to his death. His costume is based on the only thing he can clearly remember, a fascination with a comic book character called Mr. Excitement.
Wow.
Which explains this, yeah. His costume consists of all white, leaving his grayish, bluish kind of hair tufts springing out of the top of his head.
Mm-hmm.
He has grayish blue gloves, black boots, and a huge red thunderbolt-like exclamation mark on his chest.
Right, that's what it was.
His white mask leaves his eyes completely white while outlining them and his mouth in a dark black, making him seem almost mannequin-like in appearance, which could be quite maddening.
Well, he looked like... What? You're a madman. He looked like, to me, like a Mike Myers superhero, like Michael Myers from Halloween.
Yeah.
Which made him really creepy looking.
You're right. Yeah. That's exactly. It was just void of expression in that character. And in fact, I have the madman sitting right here on the table.
That's right.
And it's one of my favorite looking.
You're so right. It is like a Michael Myers
comics. Thing. As far as the look is concerned. Look at that artwork, gentlemen. Like, that's a beautiful book.
It is a beautiful book. But it's funny. If you saw him in a black alley, a dark alley.
You would run.
Yeah.
You'd run like hell.
Well, he was like a psychopath, too. I mean, like, well-meaning, but like, he was pretty crazy.
I mean, yeah, right? he was definitely out there. Yeah.
He was a madman. Yeah. Well, not speaking of madmen, speaking of the strong silent type, my final costume on my list is the mid-1980s version of Snake Eyes.
Oh!
From G.I. Joe. Costume, as a kid, I was probably into G.I. Joe and comic books just at the same time and just as equal at this age. And I remember Snake Eyes was always cool. And of course, the original just full black costume was just great. But I remember then going to like a Toys R Us and seeing this new Snake Eyes and going, wow, they managed to make him look even cooler. Because they really embraced the ninja part and the commando part. They had him with an Uzi, which everybody in the 80s had Uzis. He had the grenades going down his chest. Then he had a sword that he carried because he was a ninja, and ninjas love their swords. But one of the coolest things was that, for what reason, I have no idea.
The grenades?
No. The visor over his head. The weird metal visor. Because obviously, he can't speak, right? But the visor over his head, it's just this cool, almost knight-looking visor that protects his head. I would imagine it would hurt to get headbutt by it, but... Really, aside from just aesthetic awesomeness, I don't know what the point of it was, yet it's what totally sold Snake Eyes for me in this new version. I was just like,
yeah, very
cool.
That's
so cool. Just the silver on black always looked cool. And he just was like ready to kick ass. And then just to throw in some extra awesomeness, he had a pet wolf that came with him and sat on his side and like was obedient to him. And he could always like, you know, call forth to gnaw on somebody's balls as they screamed. Cobra, la 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 la, and died.
He's got a lot of pouches, too.
Loved his pouches. Rob Liefeld probably was looking at this as a boy and going, like, one day I will pouch the fucking world with pouches.
In fact, when he goes to sleep at night, Liefeld actually crawls into a pouch.
He goes in the...
It happened.
It's a nice little pouch.
Yeah.
It's true. Tuck myself in, pull that little lid over me.
A little Velcro or whatever.
The sound of Velcro in the morning.
Yep. Kevin?
All right. My final costume is of my second favorite X-Men villain, Mr. Sinister.
What?
But the first time I saw this as a kid, like, I've never seen a costume like this before.
Mm-hmm.
He has, like, a shredded cape.
Mm-hmm.
He has, like, the diamond on his chest. He has his, you know, his, like I said, his navy, I guess you could call it, like, a dark blue, navy blue armor.
Alabaster skin.
Alabaster skin. And He's just very elegant, you know? Elegant.
He looks like he can go to a ball.
Yeah. Or like a really cool goth club.
Yeah.
Well, goth ball. He is from the Victorian era, that's his origin. Right. So it kind of makes sense why that costume, you know, would evolve over time.
Yeah, I bet the artists that, you know, when they created his history and stuff, they were like, oh, then I need to do something slightly Victorian too. I get that. Mm-hmm. I get that. That's cool.
That's cool. Sinister is a great.
Yeah, because like, you don't see too many. Yeah. You'll see it's very unique. I don't really see that.
Tattered.
Before.
Like, if he asked you to dance, Kevin, would you dance with him?
If he said, "I would like to have a waltz with you, Kevin."
Right.
Well, a sinister waltz.
Yeah, why not?
Okay. All right. I love that. Okay. So my fifth one here, my choice.
Our last one, right?
Yeah, pretty much. My fifth one would be Moon Knight.
Nice.
Not a bad choice.
Yeah, the character debuted in Werewolf by Night number 32, August 1975, written by Doug Monash?
Munch?
Munch?
I call him Munch.
Munch? Doug Munch.
Doug Munch.
And with art by Don Perlin, as a villain hired by the Secret Empire to kill the title character in a two-part story continuing in issue number 33. Basically, the character's costume is all white, with a large cape and cowl to cover his appearance, and even a white crescent moon on his chest.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is white. So he's like, to me, he was like daytime Batman. That's what I've always referred to him as.
I love him. I love to watch my daytime Batman.
Yeah. So Moon Knight was just a really stark comparison, you know, or contrast to Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar somewhat. In fact, Charlie Houston, I believe, was the writer at the time. He accepted, and he spoke on this, that the two characters had their similarities, but went on to contrast the two by noting that Bruce Wayne, he said, fights crime to avenge the murders of his parents, whereas Moon Knight beats up whoever has it coming because he believes he is the avatar of the Egyptian god of vengeance, and it helps him to feel better about all the people he killed when he was a mercenary.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, they couldn't have more different backgrounds. Right. Yeah.
Thus, while Batman is motivated by vengeance for wrong done to his parents, Mark Spector is motivated by vengeance as a concept. Houston further noted that Bruce Wayne, Batman's alter ego, takes on other personalities merely to aid in his fight. However, Moon Knight has three alter egos which aid him as much in dealing with personal demons as fighting lawbreakers, and which have taken a further psychological toll of causing dissociative identity disorder.
Totally, yeah.
So it's kind of, you got a character that drove himself mad. And it's very fascinating because Batman could have easily gone down that path. We could see that, you know, but it just never happened.
We were talking about, Kevin and I were talking about reading runs, like older runs, and then kind of talking about them like on the show. Reading that Moon Knight run, that in 1980s Moon Knight run,
uh-huh,
would be something interesting.
True. That would be trippy as balls.
Yeah, some great covers, I'm sure the stories are really
What about a crossover? The Dark Knight and Moon Knight.
I don't know if they've done that.
I don't think they have.
No, I'm saying it would be cool if they did.
And anyway, what I was thinking to kind of end this out for us here tonight, we just mention a couple more, throw in a couple more characters we think have really cool costumes. Just list them.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. So, Serpentor.
Serpentor.
So, Kevin, you went with Serpentor. What, do you have another one?
Hey, you know what? Let's stay in the G.I. Joe realm. I've always liked Cobra Commander's costume.
It's true. Did you prefer the metal, shiny face
the chrome mask?
The robe, or the hood. Like the hood thing?
Well, you know, the terrorist-looking mask with the eye was pretty cool, but I prefer the chrome.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, you gotta have the chrome.
Me too. I would go with, of course, what I'm wearing right now. I would go with Magneto.
Yeah,
no doubt.
Sure. It's somewhat the classic one. It's the purple and kind of a reddish pink,
mm-hmm,
that he had. I've always loved that with the helmet.
You know, and it has an elegance to it as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely has an elegance. One more I would go with, speaking of Jarrett's simplicity, I would go with the Spectre.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I think the Spectre's, he's green and white. He's this
all white-bodied
painted character, just wearing this green cloak, green trunks, green gloves, and boots. Very simplistic, but very powerful.
And I love colors that you never would think to like show so prevalent, like green and white. I mean, it works to scare somebody.
Yeah.
I one that would have completely been on my list, but I've talked about him so much, and I'm obviously so in love with him. Black Adam. I once again, simple. I remember seeing it was like Crisis on Infinite Earths 5.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like shooting on the cover. And I was like, who's this lightning guy? And then when I found out he was like evil Captain Marvel, I was like, I'm in.
Right.
So just that simple costume. Another one that's all over the place, Mr. Miracle.
Ah, that's a good choice.
Costume. That is a beautiful costume. The red, the orange. It's just such an interesting.
And he's got those disc things he kind of flies on.
Arrow discs.
I love those. Yeah. Those complete it.
Yeah.
Hey, what about Batman's replacement when he got his back broken? Azrael's costume.
Yeah, I preferred it a little bit later.
A little bit later?
Yeah, when he actually became Azrael instead of when he replaced Batman.
Oh, like the night? Yeah, I didn't care for the souped-up Batman one. Yeah. But his original was cooler with the energy, like, blades that came out of his hand.
Yeah.
But Nightwing actually has a cool costume. I like his.
Nightwing's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Other ones, cool. I was going to say Justice Society, I would say Starman, the original Starman with, like, the fin and the cape.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was like that one. And then Dr. Midnight. I love Dr. Midnight.
Darkhawk. I can think about Darkhawk.
Darkhawk's great. Another one that I was thinking of would be, like, Doctor Strange.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, Doctor Strange.
Was that the Cloak of Levitation?
And what you can't have Doctor Strange without saying Doctor Fate, which is another really cool costume.
Once again, Justice Society, like all those guys.
Yep.
And then, I mean, I think a good one to end it on, Dr. Manhattan. You know, just a naked blue dude's penis flying in the wind.
Wait, I could top that. Secret Wars 2, the Beyonders outfit.
Wait, is like
this guy's like Jerry Curls.
Oh, one of the worst concept designs ever. And yet so awesome to look back on.
Oh, man.
The Beyonder. Well, yeah, that'll do it for us. Thank you for listening. Obviously, as we always ask, and get on our knees and beg you, please.
Show us some love on YouTube.
God, show us love. YouTube.
Please. Instagram. We love it.
Instagram. Obviously, iTunes.
Facebook. We got a cool Facebook page. We do SmackDown Sundays.
SmackDown Sundays. You pick them. Tell us how you... Well, we pick them. You tell us who you think.
Subscribe. Mercifully subscribe.
Yes, please.
And share. Share the love. You got friends who like comic books? Want to hear three total nerd asses talk about them? Say, hey, go to the Real Short Box. And then always remember that we'll see you